Galilee. This I love the satellite stuff, right? There's a satellite picture of the Sea of Galilee. We were talking about it on Wednesday night. You know, how big is that sea? And actually, it's not that big. You can see from one shore to the other. We would probably call it a lake, but it's been known as a sea forever, so we're not going to change that. But Jesus did ministry all around that area, and it was a lot safer for him there. Remember, at last in chapter 5 of John, Jesus was in Jerusalem, and the leaders in Jerusalem wanted to kill him, right? And so John gives us this picture where Jesus goes up north where it's a lot safer, and then he comes down to Jerusalem in the south, and he knows, of course, one day that's going to be where they're going to kill him. So he knows the lay of the land. He knows the territory. He understands what's going on there. And so, you know, I put it this way. The Jews in Jerusalem wanted to kill him. The Jews in Galilee wanted to seek him out. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to see him. And so they were going out, following around. Jesus would basically be asking them the question, why are you seeking me? Why are you following me? It's a great question for us. Why do we seek Jesus? Why do we come to church? There's a lot of different reasons why people could seek Jesus. And unfortunately, some people, I think, do seek him for the wrong thing. But I pray that most of us, or all of us, are seeking Jesus for the right reasons. So Jesus, in chapter 6 of John, verse 1 and following, he basically is being followed by a large crowd of people. He's teaching, and again, he's safer up there. People are coming to see him. They've heard about or seen his miracles. John has reported several times that Jesus has done miracles among crowds. And so people are like, wow, this guy, you know, I want to see what's going on. I want to, you know, watch what he's doing and that kind of stuff. We saw that he, you know, in chapter 5, he healed a man who'd been lame for 38 years. And guy got up, took his mat and walked, right? And so these people are very curious. They're following him around. And he had 5,000 men, and that wouldn't include the wives and children and people that would be with them. So there were, you know, a huge crowd of people out in the middle of nowhere. He's out, you know, if you go back to that map, there's cities on one side of Galilee, and on the other side, it's kind of barren, open land, hills, and that kind of stuff. And Jesus is somewhere over there, and he's teaching this huge crowd of people, and he turns and he asks Philip, he says, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? And the text actually says Jesus knew what he was going to do. He was just doing this to test Philip. And I think it's interesting. You think about Jesus testing someone. Well, he knew what he was going to do with Philip. He was going to build Philip's faith by having Philip look at it and, you know, you know, when the enemy tests us, he wants to destroy our faith. When God allows us to go through something, he wants our faith to grow. He wants to strengthen our faith. So Philip answers him after he looks, he says, 8 months' wages couldn't buy enough bread for each one of these to have a bite. So he says, you know, I mean, basically, you know, take a year's salary. He says, it wouldn't feed everybody here. And Jesus, you know, Andrew comes up, and Andrew's got a little boy. He's got, you know, 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 little fish. And, you know, what's that among so many? And Jesus blesses it. Jesus gives God thanks, and he praises God and lifts up the bread and the fish, and he starts telling them to distribute the bread and give it, and people are sitting down, and they're getting their bread, they're getting their fish, and it says when they were all over, they filled up 12 baskets of extras. So Jesus did this miracle of feeding 5,000 plus people with bread and barley from 5 loaves and 2 little fish. You know, sometimes people think that that's why you would come to seek Jesus, right? To, you know, hey, if I seek Jesus, he'll make things go better in my life. The woman at the well thought that, right? She said, Jesus, you know, give me that water. Then I'll never have to come and dig that, you know, pull that water out every day and carry it home. That'd make my life so much easier, And so here, these guys are getting this bread, and they're saying, wow, this is great. We follow this guy around. We're going to eat every day. We don't have to work. We don't have to do the mill anymore. Wow, this is awesome. Some people follow Jesus for that reason, or at least that's their thinking, is that Jesus gives us only things for temporary use or purpose, right? I give thanks to God for every good thing that we have in life. And Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6 that God gives us things for our, you know, ability to enjoy it and what have you. But that's not the only reason why we're seeking God, right? That's not what we're doing. So anyway, this is awesome. It's a, you know, Jesus again showing his power. He's changing lives. He's changing hearts. He's doing these miraculous signs, showing that he's powerful and able to do things that nobody else could do. So after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who has come into the world. So this is going back to Moses, Deuteronomy 18, where Moses says there's going to be a prophet that rises up and you're going to listen to everything he says. And this crowd saying, this must be him. Just like the woman at the well again said, oh, when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us all these things. And they're at least aware of who Jesus is, but they don't understand why he's come. They're seeking him. They like him, but they like him for kind of the wrong reason. That's not what we want. We want to like Jesus for the right reasons. We want to know Jesus the way he is and not try to make him something else. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew to a mountain by himself. Just think about this. This idea of someone possessing, we have these things in you know, our movie culture. It used to be comics, but you know, superheroes, right? Superhero has all this power and all this stuff, and of course, evil guys use it for their own good. But think of that. I mean, Jesus actually is the only real superhero there ever was. Jesus can you know, we'll see, walk on water. Jesus can take little bread and make it to feed 5,000 men and their families. Jesus can take a man who's sick for 38 years and say, get up and walk. Right? He has all this power, all this glory. And you think, what would I do with that kind of power? What would I do with that kind of fame? Because that's what this is. This crowd saying, man, this guy, can we find anybody else like him to lead us? And Jesus knows they would by force make him king, and that's not why he came. Jesus didn't come to become king. He didn't come to be the ruler of this world at this time. So Jesus snuck out, went up on a mountain to be with his Father. He went up. That's something that happens often in the Gospels where you see Jesus goes off by himself. It doesn't say why here, but, you know, it's Jesus. Who's he going to talk to? What's he going to do? He's going to go up. He's going to be with his Father. He's going to make sure that he's doing exactly what the Father wants and not what the crowds want, not what the people want, right? So basically, the disciples say, well, Jesus is God. I don't know where he went. And they get in their boat and they start going across. Again, they're on this side of Galilee. They're going across to Capernaum, which is over here. That's where all the fishermen were from, Peter and Andrew, James, John. They were all from that area. And so they're going back towards their home. And Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Again, the miracle power of Jesus Christ. He's able to heal. He's able to, you know, we see in other places, cast out demons and do these powerful things. And he's over nature. He can calm a storm or he can walk on water, right? Just the magnificent power that is in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's walking across. And they, you know, the guys first, they were scared, you know, oh no, it's a spirit. And then they realized it was Jesus. And they welcomed him into the boat. What a smart thing to do. And they go on to the other side, to Capernaum. And the crowd realizes it. And they said, you know, where did they all go? You know, so they go across the water as well. And they're basically seeking out Jesus. They're looking for him. And Jesus talks to them. This is where kind of the heart of the sermon, the heart of the text, I think, takes off, where Jesus starts talking to the people and asking basically the question, why are you seeking me? They found him on the other side, and they ask him, Rabbi, when did you get here? He doesn't even answer them. He just says, I tell you the truth. You're seeking me or looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Said that, right? Sometimes people say, well, if I walk with God, then God's going to give me all the stuff I need in life. There's a very truth reality in that. You know, if our Father in heaven give us our daily bread, we thank God for his provision for us. But the day that doesn't happen doesn't mean I'm not going to walk with God or seek God or call upon God, right? Because what's really important is a different relationship. He says, you didn't see me because you know who I am. You're not looking for me because you know who I am. You're looking for me because I fed you. Again, just like the woman at the well, you like what I'm telling you because you want to have an easier life and never have to come and draw water again. You guys like being fed without working, and you know you like that, right? So Jesus is telling them, bringing that up. And he tells them, he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Don't work for food that spoils. And I think about that, how much of our time and energy, and it's not because we want to necessarily, but we spend a lot of time, a lot of energy working on things that spoil. Right, we gather things, we got possessions, we've got, you know, got to get the groceries, we got to do all these things, but every bit of that. So when I was a young person, my dad had donut shops, and I made donuts, and I used to think about making donuts and what a weird occupation that was, because a donut only lasts for about 12 hours, right? You're sitting there hammering out, and we did them by hand. You hammer out these donuts and make, you know, thousands and thousands of donuts, and the next day none of them would be there, you know. All your work was just going basically for, you know, a very short period of time. Jesus said, don't work for food that spoils. He was talking to them about the bread. They're seeking Jesus. They're looking for Jesus because Jesus fed them bread. He says, look for something better. Look for food that endures to eternal life. Think of the things that God gives us. Think of the things that God puts in us. He gives us grace so that we can live with him and walk with him and know him. He gives us the Holy Spirit, which endures forever. The Holy Spirit is not just something that you have here and it goes away. The Holy Spirit is in us and part of us and stays with us into eternity. It's an eternal gift. You know, we should be seeking Jesus for the Holy Spirit, seeking Jesus for our soul salvation, seeking Jesus. And he calls himself again the Son of Man. And we've pointed this out many times, Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man. The Son of Man is one who comes to the throne of the Almighty. The throne is full of fire and flame all around. And the Son of Man comes and the Father Almighty gives to him dominion, glory, and a kingdom that endures forever. But what does the explanation tell us? That the saints of the Most High, those who belong, and you would say those who belong to the Son of Man, they receive dominion, glory, and a kingdom that endures forever. Jesus is saying, don't seek me for the things that are going away, for the things that are temporary. It's okay if they come. It's okay if we have them. But that's not why I'm seeking Jesus Christ. I'm seeking Jesus Christ because he, as the Son of Man, has power to give us much, much more about eternal life and about being with God, knowing God, being able to call God your Father, walking with God day by day, knowing that if good things happen, we can praise God, knowing if bad things happen, we can still count on the mighty God who takes care of us and sees us and knows us, right? So Jesus is warning this people. They're seeking him out. They crossed the water, you know, to find him. And when they found him, he says, don't look for me for just the little things, but look for the real thing. And then they ask a very important question. Just like chapter 5, this question rises up. They say, what must we do to do the work God requires? What is it that God wants from us? What does God want from us? And again, if we're seeking Jesus, if we're seeking him, we're seeking God. Right? The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, they're one. We're seeking God. And he says the answer to that question is the work of God is this, to believe on the one that he has sent. Now we know that, right? The work of God is to believe in Jesus Christ. We have to believe that Jesus is the person, the Son of Man, the one whom God puts everything in the future, everything in the kingdom in his hands. The Son of Man is the one, he said earlier, and he'll say it again in just a second, that he is the one who possesses the power of life and is able to give life. The Son of Man is the one who is able to cancel our sins and make them disappear in the eyes of God so that we are declared righteous in God's sight and raised up into that new life. When we believe in Jesus Christ, it's not simply a matter of I believe and then I'm done, right? It's not like I believe, but when I do believe, I do the works of God. Because when you believe in Jesus Christ and he's a part of who you are and the Spirit and the power of Christ is in you and his truth is in you, then you're going to actually do the works of God that come out of that faith. It's kind of an interesting thing. The work of God is this, to believe in Jesus Christ, which will bring out like Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, which brings about the work of God, right? Surely, they ask, what miraculous sign? Oh, I'm sorry. They ask, what miraculous sign then will you give in that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert, as it's written. He gave them bread to eat, from heaven to eat. So again, here they are. They're like, you just fed us. Now, our forefathers, they got bread, but they didn't get it for a day. They got it for 40 years, and they ate, you know. And it's kind of interesting. They're talking about their forefathers and the bread from heaven as if that did something good, because all those people did was complain about God, murmur about God, and often found themselves under judgment of God. That's why they wandered for 40 years, right? But these people are, you know, well, we got, you know, our forefathers got bread all the time. And then Jesus says to them, I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Jesus is the bread of life. I love that song. We're going to sing it again. Bread of life. Quoting this chapter, John chapter 6. I am the bread of life, right? And he tells them the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. You think about food and bread, you know, it gives it life. And we have to get older, you have to really cut down what you eat or else you start growing, you know. It's like the food is necessary for life. Jesus is necessary for eternal life. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the one who came from heaven in order to give life to the world. When we, you know, have our communion and we celebrate what Christ has done, it's to remember that Jesus Christ has given us life. Jesus Christ has given us a way to know God, to walk with God, to be with God, and to live in eternity with God. Jesus Christ has given us the ability to recapture the image of God which we were created to have. It's all in Jesus Christ. And so he tells them, that's what life is. I'm giving this to the world. You know, I think about us. It's sad, isn't it, when we know people that don't believe in Jesus or they're not seeking Jesus for the right thing. They're looking for, you know, something else. They're looking for, oh, if I believe in Jesus, I'll get riches. If I believe in Jesus, he'll make sure I never get sick. If I believe in Jesus, on and it goes, right? But when we're seeking Jesus, we're seeking the one who gives life to the world. I believe in Jesus because he's the only one who possesses power to give me life, the only one who possesses power to raise me up from the dead, the only one who possesses power to take what I am and turn it into something glorious and awesome and fit for the kingdom of heaven, right? That's the bread of life. And then he declared to them, ego eimi, that's the name of God in Greek. All right, I am, like in Moses, you know, when he said, what's your name? And God said, I am, right? And in Greek, that's ego eimi. And Jesus uses that term often in John. And it's there to say, you know, he's not just a guy. He's not just a son. He is God. And he says, ego eimi, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. Just like the woman at the well, again, this idea of perpetual life, perpetual power coming from the person of Jesus Christ. He's not saying, you know, we don't get our life by eating the elements of the sacrament. We get our life by believing in Jesus Christ, and that's what he's talking about. When he talks about if you come to him, you're never going to be hungry. What does he mean? He means your soul is going to be satisfied with the graces and powers of God. I pray that happens. You know, this morning as we were worshiping God, I felt more of the grace and power of God, and I really needed to experience that. It was just gracious and wonderful and awesome, and that's what I love about being with God and God's people. Is knowing that power, knowing that grace. He who comes to me will never go hungry. Some of us have been at this a long time. And I still have a hunger for God. I still have a passion for God, but I've never been starving. I've never starved for the desire. Every time my heart yearns for him and calls upon him, there he is. He's always there. It's not like I have to repeat rituals or do something all the time to keep that going. It's because of who he is. He's a living, dynamic power in our lives when we believe in him. He who believes in me will never be thirsty, meaning, again, that he will satisfy our spiritual needs and graces from God. Here's the greatest thing that he says in this text for us. He says, listen, as I told you and you've seen me, you still don't believe. Not you guys, right? We believe. I pray to God we are all believing in Jesus Christ. All that my Father gives me will come to me. If we have come to Jesus Christ, this is Reformed theology at its heart. My Father gives me. All that my Father gives me. If you have called upon Jesus Christ, if you believed in Jesus Christ, that means God called you to call on him. I always say it this way. Before you spoke the name of Jesus, God spoke your name. And he calls you to know him. All the Father gives me will come to me. How many of you want to be with Jesus? How many of you want to walk with Jesus, know Jesus? How many of you want to be filled with Jesus, right? We come to him. Why? Because God called us to do that. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Sometimes we get, you know, our world is such a mess and our lives can be bumpy and imperfect. And we think, you know, God, do you still love me? Do you still want me? Am I still able to be yours? And here Jesus says, my Father, he calls you and you come. And whoever comes, I will never push them out. I'll never push you away. I'll never drop you from my conscience or from my heart. You belong to me. That's Jesus. That's us with Jesus. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of who sent me. Again, Jesus, he could have been king. He could have been, you know, Lord of all the world if he would have taken Satan's deal in Matthew 4. He could have had anything in this world and everything in this world. But he said, I didn't come to do my will. I didn't come to just serve on my turn. I came to obey the will of God. If you're saved, understand, yes, Jesus is awesome. Jesus has given us so much. But that comes from the heart of God the Father. That is God's will that you be saved, right? God the Father's will, Jesus' will. In Romans, he talks about it. He says, you know, who's going to stand up against you? Who's going to stand up and say something bad about you? Is it God who sent his son to die for you so that you could have righteousness? Is it Jesus Christ who died for you so that you could have righteousness and grace? He said, why would, you know, they want you. They want us to be part of it. When God created this heaven and earth, he created it so he could have children. He created it so he could have image bearers. Chapter 1 tells us Jesus is given authority to create children of God, not born of the will of man or by the power of man, but born by the will of God. God wants you. God wants you to be seeking him. God wants you to know him. God wants you to have life in you. He said, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none. How many? None. I will lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. That's the promise. What am I seeking God for? Ultimately, you know, as I've walked with God for many years, and when I was a younger person, I used to probably have different ideas of what it meant to walk with God and that. And as I'm getting older and getting closer to the end than the beginning, I'm realizing how important it is not to worry so much about the stuff of the world or the things of this world and my life here, but to think about what God has promised me in eternity. He says, on the last day, I'm going to raise them up. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son of Man, or to the Son, and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. God wants us to live. God wants us to have life. God wants us to be his image-bearing children. God wants us to live with him into eternity. That's what the cross is about. That's what the resurrection is about. That's what the entirety of Scripture is about. It's about God and his desire for us. And the awesome thing about this is that God will not let us fail. I like that. God will not let us fail. So why do we seek Jesus? Well, he does help us in this life. I can look back at many times in my life where I can say, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. He does do that. He offers us spiritual, eternal food, life. Life in the Spirit, life in truth, life with God. He possesses the authority to give us life eternal. Jesus possesses authority to raise us up, and he leads us towards God's will. Now and forever. That's why we're seeking God, right? So as we come to share in the bread today, we're thinking of Jesus, who is the bread of life. Jesus, who gave himself on behalf of us so that we might have life in him, a real life, a spiritual, powerful life. Let's prepare our hearts for communion. And we're going to do this as we've done in the last months, where we come up starting at the front and then row by row, and you know, trying to not bump into each other too much, and take the elements back to our place. Oh, these are for me.
Oh, that's for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were putting that there for me. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. Thank you. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks. And Father, we give thanks. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, O Lord, he set us free from the power of sin. He destroyed the work of the devil, and he gave us life. We praise you, Almighty God, and ask, Father, that we will take our life before you very seriously, and we take sin seriously, and that we will do our best, Lord, to walk in holiness and righteousness before you through the gift of Christ. Praise you, Father, for all you've done. And then Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body. And after supper, he took a cup, and he reminded them that this cup was a cup of a covenant of forgiveness of sin through the blood of Christ. The word forgiveness means to do away with, to get rid of, to destroy. And we thank you, Almighty God, that you have destroyed sin in our lives through the cross of Jesus Christ. It is not by our own righteousness that we call you Father or follow you or believe, but it is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ that you've given us life. Thank you, Father, for the great gift, and thank you, Lord Jesus, for your obedient sacrifice. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the witness that you bear in our hearts that we are yours. And we ask, God, that you will help to keep us from sin, so that we may glorify you. And then Jesus said, take and drink, all of you. And Paul reminds us that as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
Thank you. we pray that we would always sincerely seek you, not just for things that we can get from you, but to seek you for who you are, and to seek you in order to glorify you and to have you be glorified in our lives. We pray for all of our friends who are still absent, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them and return them safely to us. We love you, Lord. We love your people. We thank you for this church and for your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.